Good morning, Lillooet, and welcome to another day of live broadcasting here on CHLS 100.5 FM. My name is Jeff O'Kelly. This program is Snooze Button, and I'll be with you until 9 o'clock. And sorry about the long pause after the Mozart there. I felt a sneeze coming on just as that piece was ending and wanted to get that over and done with, which is why I sound a little stuffed up now. That will go away, I'm trusting, before too long. We heard the Church Sonata No. 13 in G Major by Mozart. That was a recording with Genevieve Soli playing the organ, which you probably or may not have even noticed was there. And I Musici de Montréal was the accompanying string band, and the conductor Yuli Turovsky. We'll come back and hear another of those Church Sonatas in a few minutes, and I'll tell you a little bit more about them. Right now it's time for weather and road reports. Let's see, yesterday's low 11.0, the high made it up to 30.1. I think that's the first time we've broken 30 all year long. Probably not, I'm sure it's not the last time. Looks like today we might as well. As of 7 a.m., the temperature at 20 degrees, suddenly kind of clouded over at some point this morning. But Environment Canada tells us that today there will be clearing early this morning. Wind from the south at 20 kilometers per hour, becoming light early this morning. Wind from the south at 40, gusting to 60 near noon. A high today of 30 degrees, and the UV index at 8, which is in the now into the not just the high range, but the very high range. So if you're going to be spending lots of time outside today, or even just a prolonged period of more than a few minutes, make sure you have the proper protection, long-sleeved, lightweight shirt, wide-brimmed hat, sunblock, all those sorts of things, sunglasses. Tonight, partly cloudy, becoming cloudy near midnight with a 60% chance of showers overnight. Wind from the south at 40, gusting to 60, a low tonight of 16 degrees. Tuesday, cloudy with a 60% chance of showers in the morning and afternoon, clearing early in the evening. Wind from the south at 30, increasing to 50 with gusts to 70 in the afternoon, then becoming light in the evening, and high tomorrow of only 23 degrees. Wednesday, back to warmer weather, sunny, a low of 14, a high of 28. Thursday, sunny, a low of 16, a high of 28. And at this point, Friday, predicted to have a mixture of sun and cloud, a low of 16 and a high of 26 degrees. And taking a look at conditions across the country and around the province, right now in St. John's, Newfoundland, it is 14 degrees and mainly sunny. Montreal is cloudy and 23, Toronto 22 degrees and cloudy, excuse me, and Iqaluit 6 degrees with light rain. Winnipeg mainly sunny and 20, Saskatoon 16 degrees and mostly cloudy. Yellowknife is mainly sunny and 17, Edmonton 15 degrees and sunny, Calgary mainly sunny and 14, Whitehorse is 10 degrees and partly cloudy. Prince George, mostly cloudy and 14, and a little closer to home, Clinton is mostly cloudy and 14, Hope 16 degrees and cloudy, Kamloops partly cloudy and 16, 11 degrees in Pemberton, and in Vancouver it is 16 degrees and partly cloudy. And let's see, looking at the highways here, starting with rock scaling, Highway 1, rock scaling at the summit of Jackass Mountain, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., and that runs through June the 27th, single-lane alternating traffic there with up to 20-minute delays. There's also mowing taking place from Spence's Bridge to 10 kilometers east of Cache Creek. That's a total of 60 kilometers of the highway. I'm sure it's not all being mowed at once, but certain sections. 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. daily. It says today is the last day of that, I believe. And paving continues between Cache Creek and Kamloops. A total of 27 kilometers of the highway being paved there, and but broken up into lots of little bits, little sections, and far too numerous for me to mention here. So that works 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday, continuing through June 30th, single lane alternating traffic wherever that's going on. And then we are on to Highway 12, and we've got mowing from Lillooet to 24 kilometers north of Lytton, 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. daily until further notice, single lane alternating traffic where that's going on. Highway 40, construction from 12 to 16 kilometers west of Lillooet, 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday, running through September 15th, single lane alternating traffic. Also on Highway 40, mowing between Lillooet and Goldbridge, 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. daily until further notice, single lane alternating traffic there. And then we get to Highway 99 South, and I think the only note I have there is the construction between 14 and 28 kilometers south of Lillooet, 7 a.m. to 6 p.m., Monday through Saturday, continuing through September 15th, single lane alternating traffic there. And finally, on Highway 99 North, mowing from Lillooet to the Hat Creek Corner, 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. daily until further notice, with single lane alternating traffic there. So a whole lot of mowing going on. I think mowing is something I'm going to have to get to. I say mowing. I don't know why. Maybe from having been born in Texas, maybe from listening to Ned Flanders say, "How's the mowing going?" to Homer. Anyway, something like that. Okay, let's go back to Mozart. And we'll hear another of these church sonatas. There seems to be some disagreement as to exactly where in a church service these pieces would have been used. They were all written when Mozart was in his late teens, still working for the Archbishop of Salzburg. Some people think that they might have been used before or after the epistle readings. Those are probably that's the most specific I've heard anybody get about them, and that may or may not be because these pieces are sometimes known as epistle sonatas. They tend to be quite small in scale. They're all just a few minutes long. Most of them call for just a string orchestra with an organ. There really was an organ playing in the first one, but it didn't have much to do, so you didn't really notice it. It was just very much in the background. But some of them tend to be not larger in terms of their length scale, but larger in terms of the instrumental resources. And particularly the ones in C major, Mozart tended to add more instruments in. And we're going to listen to one of those now, the Sonata number 16 in C major, which, if I recall correctly, includes two trumpets and two oboes. And I think there are timpani, the kettle drums, involved, as well as the usual string ensemble. And in this one, you will hear a little bit more of the organ itself. Genevieve Soli, once again, playing the organ with the Musici da Maria. Thank you. more music by Mozart there, and yeah, that's kind of a celebratory sounding piece with the addition of the trumpets and oboes and timpani in there. Great fun. That was the Church Sonata number 16 in C major, Kreschel number 329, if you really care. Genevieve Soli was playing the organ. Sorry, I'm just kind of catching up on things here in the studio and trying to fill in the paperwork. Genevieve Soli playing the organ with the Musique de Montréal, conducted by Yuli Turovsky. There have been a number of recordings of those pieces now, and it's really interesting to hear them with different organists, different organs, and the way that in some recordings the organ part is a little more prominent, in others less. In this recording, these recordings by Musique de Montréal, I personally wish the organ was a little bit more present, but still, I enjoy them a great deal, as I do just about all the recordings I've heard by that particular ensemble. Okay, it's 8:17. Let me tell you what's coming up today on Radio Lillooet. When Snooze Button wraps up, I will leave you with the Folk World Reggae playlist today. No student broadcasters, of course, and I'm assuming there will not be any student broadcasters for the remainder of the year. Later this afternoon, Democracy Now! Between 3 and 4 p.m. This evening at 6 p.m. is Science for the People. This week's edition is called Extreme Medicine. I actually remembered to go to the website so I could tell you this information now, and then it turns out to be very uninformative, at least to my eyes and brain. It says this week they're on the frontiers of medicine, from the fabulous to the foolhardy. They'll talk to Dr. Kevin Fong, co-director of the Center for Aviation Space and Extreme Environment Medicine at University College London, about his book Extreme Medicine: How Exploration Transformed Medicine in the 20th Century. And they're also joined by Dr. Sidney and Justin McElroy, hosts of the podcast Sawbones, A Marital Tour of Misguided Medicine. I guess you can get a bit of an idea of what it's about from that, but it's not entirely clear to me. But tune in at 6 p.m. to find out. This is a show that comes to us from radio station CJSR at the University of Alberta in Edmonton. I don't think I've mentioned that in quite a while. And Science for the People is a really, really cool show. It's not just for scientists, it's for anybody. It's amazing how they sometimes choose really quite abstract or abstruse subjects for the show, but manage to make it something that anybody can listen to and enjoy. And I may have another sneeze coming here, but at 7 p.m. tonight, oh, maybe it's going to go away. Music for the Middle Ages with your host Jim Minora. That's from 7 until 8 p.m. And you can find the schedule at radiolillooet.ca and find many of our shows posted in podcast form. Let's see, a link to live streaming Radio Lillooet and all sorts of other interesting things. That is it for the radio lineup today. I guess we better talk about the Nelson Osprey Nest Cam that I've been touting so highly over the past few weeks. Things may have taken an unfortunate turn there. It's really hard to know just yet. As far as I can tell, the last time that any of the site's regular viewers, people who are viewing it much more regularly than I am, the last time any of them saw the adult male was on Thursday evening, I believe. And if something bad has happened to him, or if he has left, or whatever, puts the female in a pretty difficult situation because of the ages of the chicks. I think the youngest one is only 8 days, the oldest one 12 or 13 days. And she is going to have to make a decision as to whether and when to leave the nest to fish, both for herself and for her babies. When she does that, of course, it means putting the babies at risk from predators. Now, it's possible that maybe just people have missed the, haven't seen the adult male, and maybe he's been around. But it looks as if there may be a problem there. And so I just thought I should warn people, because I've been talking about it so much. This is something that happens when you start to tune into webcams involving nature. I suppose probably if they were webcams involving people as well. But the ones I've tuned into have been ones involving nature. In one case, it was a hummingbird nest where at least one of the juvenile hummingbirds is believed to have been picked off maybe by a crow or something. I'm not sure. But you just have to be prepared for these things, nature taking its course as it will. In this case, there just happens to be a camera turned on nature. Okay, we will carry on. A couple of weeks ago, I played the March, the final movement that comes from the Serenade for Strings, music by the Swedish composer Dag Viren, whose name I hope I'm saying approximately correctly. And at the time, I said it was such an attractive little piece that I wanted to search out the rest of the serenade and bring that to you one of these days. And so I did manage to track down a complete recording of the piece. It's a fairly short piece. I don't have Dag Viren's dates in front of me, but I believe he died in the 1970s. And this piece, written, I think, in the late 1920s, around 1928, if I recall correctly. It's a fairly short piece, 14 and a half minutes in this recording, so not a long thing at all. And there are four movements, Preludium, the second movement is Andante Espressivo, so not fast, but not too slow either, and expressive in character. And then comes a lively scherzo, and then that march that ends the thing off. The march is quite well known, and some radio show on CBC, I believe, and maybe on BBC as well, have used the march as theme music. The whole thing, though, is very attractive and a great demonstration of how to write music in the 20th century that sounds like it's from the 20th century, but isn't going to just cause people to, in this case, turn off their radios. I think that's all I need to say about it. Let's listen to this recording with the English Chamber Orchestra, and the conductor is Johannes Zomari. Thank you.
Thank you.
That was music by the Swedish composer Dag Viren. We've been listening to his Serenade for Strings, and that was a recording featuring the English Chamber Orchestra with Johannes Somary, or Somary, or Summary. I'm not quite sure. It's S-O-M-A-R-Y. Anyway, he was conducting. Having listened to that piece a few times over, the past week or so, the tunes are really starting to stick. And that last movement, it's so catchy. It's got just some great tunes going on in there. Okay, it's 8:38, time for some public service announcements. Just before I do that, I'll mention I checked the BC Wildfire website looking to see if they had restricted campfires yet. Campfires, no, they are still permitted, so not a problem. But that's something that I think if we have a longish run of hottish dry weather here, we can expect to be changing sometime within the next few weeks. So if you want to check for yourself, go to, let me just check the address again. I think it's bcwildfire.ca. But let me just, yes, bcwildfire.ca. Oh, boy, I've been doing this too long. I've got websites, many website addresses starting to stick in my head. Okay, public service announcements. Let's start with the Summer Reading Club at the Lillooet Library, especially with students having kind of an early start to their summer. The public library wants to invite all future comedians, tricksters, and kids of all ages to the summer reading program. This summer's theme is funny business, crossover to the funny side. It's free. You can sign up at the library, and kids will receive a kit to keep track of their summer reading. If they're one of the top 30 readers, they'll be awarded the Summer Reading Club Medal. And if you'd like more information, you can call the library at 256-7944, visit their website, lillooet.bclibrary.ca, or just drop by the library and ask. And tomorrow there is a region-wide workshop, the Community Economic Development Workshop, that's taking place 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. That'll be here at the Rec Center. All residents of the Squamish-Lillooet Regional District Areas A and B and the District of Lillooet and Chatham communities are invited to participate. If you'd like more information about this, contact Senior Regional Manager, I'm not sure for what, but Senior Regional Manager Mike Simpson, 250-314, it's a Kamloops number, so 250-314-9660, or you can email msimpson@fraserbasin.bc.ca, and the Simpson is just like you would expect it to be, S-I-M-P-S-O-N. Summer hikes coming to, or starting from the Rec Center, I guess. The first one is scheduled for tomorrow, and weather looks pretty good for it. Not too hot, a little cooler tomorrow. Peanut Lake, a hike is to Peanut Lake tomorrow, and Peanut Lake is up above Fountain Valley, I guess on the east side of Fountain Valley. There are more hikes scheduled for later in the year, one in July, July the 12th, July the 24th, and August 7th, and then later on as well. All hikes led by licensed hiking guide Wayne Robinson. Difficulty levels and pricing will vary, and the hike will only run if there's a minimum registered number of 8 people attending. As far as difficulty level of the Peanut Lake Trail goes, I've been about two-thirds of the way up that, and if you're not rushing, it's not too bad. It is mostly uphill, but it's not never any steep climbs or anything like that, and it's a fairly well-marked trail. If you'd like more information about this or would like to check on the number of registrants and that sort of thing, get in touch with the Rec Center at 256-7527. There is a town hall meeting taking place on Wednesday evening regarding the future of the Miyazaki House. That will be at 7 p.m. That is taking place at the Seniors Center, which is in the St. John's Parish Hall, number 30, 11th Avenue, Lillooet, or as you might know it, just south of the Skateboard BMX Park. And the Lillooet Infant Development Program wants to invite children from birth to 3 years old and their parents and caregivers to the Teddy Bear Picnic. That will be this Thursday, June the 26th, 10 a.m. till noon on the lawn here at the Rec Center. Children, bring your favorite teddy bear. There will be fun activities for the children and their teddies. Story time, live music, Mother Goose songs and rhymes, and lemonade will be available. But you should bring your own snack and blanket. Siblings are welcome. And keep in mind, Thursday, I think, is scheduled to be a fairly, or forecast to be, yeah, pretty warm day. Sunny, at least at this point, predicting sunny and a high of 28. Might well be warmer, so think about that when you're bringing your child to that event. That is all I've got for the public service announcements. Okay, for the rest of the hour, let's see. I forgot last week when I was putting Friday's show together, I forgot that the longest day of the year was happening on Saturday. So we didn't get any summer, specifically summer music late last week. Today we're going to rectify that situation. I'm still giving the Four Seasons by Vivaldi some time off. They are absolutely wonderful pieces, and I adore them a great deal, but I just think that they need to be given a rest here and then, here and now, now and then, here and there. That's what I was trying to say, either one of those. And I think we gave them a rest when we had the spring equinox. By autumn, they'll probably be back. But instead, what we're going to listen to is the last two movements that come from the Symphony No. 9 in E minor, if I recall correctly, by Joachim Raff, born in 1822, died in 1882. Raff's four last symphonies, each one of them is it's subtitled with one of the seasons, and they are intended to somewhat portray the moods and the activities appropriate for those seasons. I think the symphony was written around 1878, and Raff had a huge success with his Symphony No. 5, and then the next three symphonies, 6, 7, and 8, number 8 is the Spring Symphony, they had not succeeded nearly as well in terms of public acclaim or critical acclaim, especially. But with this one, everything came roaring back, and people seem to have loved it. It's a very attractive piece, although it's in a minor key. That really only applies in the first movement. And even that movement is quite cheerful, actually, in its nature. Just beautiful stuff, but we don't have time for that. So we're going to hear the last two movements. The third movement is the slow movement of the symphony. It is subtitled Eclogue. An eclogue is originally a literary term, and it refers to a poem that has a very rural and usually pastoral setting, often involving shepherds and shepherdesses and that sort of thing. And then the final movement is called To the Harvest Wreath, and you will hear lots of great writing for the brass in this, and Joachim Raff showing off his contrapuntal ability, of which he had considerable. I'd love to tell you more about Raff's life, except there's not all that much to tell in one sense. He never did anything terribly shocking, and he seems to have had a relatively, I don't know if he was mild-mannered per se, but his personality was on a fairly even keel. He had spent some time working for Franz Liszt as a sort of a musical secretary for him. I think this would have been in the 1850s, if I recall correctly. And some people claim that Raff was responsible for the orchestration of some of Liszt's orchestral symphonic tone poems. Some people even go so far as to say that Liszt studied orchestration with Raff. That's taking it quite a bit too far. Liszt understood very well how an orchestra works, and as far as I know, in almost all of his symphonic tone poems, in writing out, he probably wrote them out in what's known as short score, which would be using just two or three or maybe four staffs of staffs at a time on a musical musical manuscript paper, rather than writing out a separate line for each instrument. But then he would indicate what instruments he had in mind, and so Raff would have been essentially working as a glorified copyist, taking this music and then kind of extrapolating Liszt's intentions from it. Anyway, I think this particular symphony is one of Raff's most attractive, and so we will hear the third and fourth movements. This recording featuring the really astonishing Bamberg Symphony Orchestra. I say astonishing because the town of Bamberg, which I think is in Bavaria, has a population of 70 or 80,000. It's not a major city by any stretch of the imagination, but they have a major orchestra, and the conductor here is Hans Stadelmeier. That was German-Swiss composer Joachim Raff's tribute to Summer. We heard the third and fourth movements from his Symphony No. 9, which is subtitled In Summer. And that was a recording featuring the Bamberg Symphony Orchestra, the conductor Hans Stadelmeier. Until just a couple of years ago, Raff was a name that was completely... his name was known to me. I was actually quite familiar with his name, but his music was completely unknown to me. And, I'm really glad that I spent the time getting to know it. Okay, it's 9:04, and we are going to have an encore. I've tried to pick sort of summery sort of music today, and it was hard for me to figure out what to throw in at the end of the show. I finally settled on this piece. This is music that Claude Debussy wrote. After he had heard what is known as a gamelan orchestra. Gamelan orchestras are based normally in Java and Bali, places like that. And they usually consist of I don't know how many players, but it can probably be a smallish number to a larger number. And they particularly feature metallic percussion instruments. So imagine a xylophone, but with metal instead of wood. And that will give you some idea. So when Debussy wrote this piece, Pagode or Pagodas, he had that sound in his ear, but he wrote the piece for solo piano. And then later in the 20th century, composer Percy Grainger, born in Australia, but then later, I think, resident mainly in Great Britain and the United States, Percy Grainger decided to arrange this piece by Debussy, and he wanted to try and make it sound like it was being played by a gamelan orchestra, and not having access to the instruments that come from the South Pacific himself. The instrumentation that he came up with for this, as far as I can tell, consists of a celesta, which is a keyboard instrument that produces a very bell-like sound, usually fairly high bell sounds. The harmonium, that's like an organ without pedals, so it's best used for sustaining chords. And then four pianos. Debussy had written the piece for just one piano, and Grainger used four of them somehow. But it works really well. It's a very effective arrangement, and a number of orchestras have recorded this now. I don't know if it's really gaining in popularity, but it's so attractive that I think it should. We will listen to this recording with the City of Birmingham Symphony Orchestra. The conductor is Sir Simon Rattle. Yes, I was paying attention, really. The reason I let it go so long is because I was wearing headphones and the harmonium was sustaining a chord and getting very, 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 very quiet on it. And I just had to wait until all of that sound completely went away. We've been listening to Pagodas, music that Claude Debussy wrote for solo piano, and we heard an arrangement there by Percy Grainger. I still haven't been able to track down precisely what the instruments involved were there, but I know for sure four pianos, celeste, harmonium, and listening to it there, I heard what had to be at least a marimba or a xylophone, or perhaps both. Anyway, very effective. City of Birmingham Symphony Orchestra there, conducted by Sir Simon Rattle.